Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We have played 4.5 of 9 here on Grant and Danny on The Fan. The back half of the show starts, as always, with the Beltway Blitz. 2 hours until Chad Dukes versus the world. Remember, at 6 o'clock today back in D.C., up until 7:30 in Charlie and Dave's official pregame show, we'll have your pregame from field level at Minute Maid Park, where we will be making the rounds in front of and around the dugout and near the batting practice cage, trying to round up as many Nats as possible before they take to the field to try to take a 2-0 series lead in the World Series. Their first ever appearance netted a Game 1 win last night. We are live in Houston at our intercom station, presented by your Washington, D.C. BMW Center. Lease a BMW 330iX Drive sedan for $399 a month at your Washington, D.C. BMW Center, or visit BMW Centers for other exceptional lease and finance offers. We will get to a pick-to-click update and a couple of thoughts on the Redskins in our Beltway Blitz, but we got to start with the ball club. Jesse Dougherty covers the Nats for the Washington Post. Jesse, we were ships passing in the night yesterday at the ballpark, buddy. I saw you a few times, never really got to have a conversation with you, but just know that I wanted to. How about Juan Soto?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, man. I mean, I think to some extent, these are the kind of things we've been seeing in D.C. since, you know, that home run at Yankee Stadium. The last 2 years have really been a just a rush of accolade after accolade and big moment after big moment. But it's really cool for him at 20 years old to be able to do this on such a big stage and come up big, especially against a guy like Gerrit Cole. And, you know, to me, the most amazing thing is the in-game adjustments. He strikes out on a high and outside fastball in his first at-bat and looks completely overmatched. And then, you know, one at-bat later, what is that, a span of a half hour, if even that, he's hitting it, you know, as far as a home run as a lefty's ever hit to left field, in that park. So it's just really, you know, it's a marvel that he can do that so quickly at such a young age. And it's going to be cool to see what he does the rest of the series.
Jesse, they beat Gerrit Cole. Everything that happened last night, sort of every once in a while, would just kind of hit me in a wave, right? They beat Gerrit Cole, who hasn't lost since the weather was nice in May. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. I was thinking, like, they haven't lost a game that he started since July 12th. Like, man, I was a different person than July 12th. That's a long time ago, right? Like, that's a huge stretch. And then 5 months to go without a losing decision as well. I mean, he's been as unbeatable as you can be as a starting pitcher. And when you think about those time frames, and the Nats took it to him. I mean, they were aggressive. We saw early on right away. I think the plate approach by Trey Turner in the first at bat, I mean, he's typically aggressive, but him, Anthony Rendon, guys who, even Juan Soto, guys who like to really ease into their at bats, were really swing happy at the first couple pitches. And maybe they didn't have all the success they wanted to. You know, Rendon strikes out. Juan Soto strikes out as well on 3 pitches, but you could see that they were not interested at all in getting into late counts against this guy. They were not going to let him, you know, carve them up for 15 strikeouts by getting, you know, 1-2-0-2 every single time, because he typically pounds the zone. So they were really aggressive from the start, and we saw the results. I mean, it really worked out.
Jesse, this was one of those games after the fact you look back, and almost everyone had an impact. Turner made the great play to keep a runner at third defensively, and had a hit and a steal. Eaton had 2 hits. Rendon beat out what would have been a double play to keep a rally going. Soto drove in 3 and homered. You know, Asdrubal Cabrera made a nice 4-3 put out in a big spot for Scherzer. Zimmerman homered. Suzuki had 10 blocks behind the plate. Victor Robles, who had a tough night in the field, had a big hit in the rally. The pitching goes without saying. I mean, it was kind of an all-hands-on-deck night for them.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a great, you know, summary of it. And the guy that I think might get lost in that is Victor Robles, but he had a bit of an adventure in center field last night. It's a wacky outfield, but that opposite field single was huge and really, really kept the line moving. And with them playing him, you know, 3 infielders on the left side over shifting, he's probably going to put some doubt in their head now if they want to keep doing that, because he showed the ability to go the other way. Overall, it's a cliche, but it certainly was a team win. And when Max Scherzer goes 5 innings and you go down early, you're going to need an effort like that because, you know, it wasn't a typical Nationals win. It wasn't seven dominant from the starter. You know, the top bullpen guys hold on. It was sort of, you know, let's score, you know, a good amount of runs, and then let's brace for impact and hope we can hold on to this. And it's kind of a formula maybe we were used to seeing a little bit earlier in the year. It's the difference is this time it's the World Series and it worked out.
Jesse, see you tonight, buddy.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, man. Let's talk some foosball, please, Tommy. Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch, is with us right now to talk about the Redskins. I guess we should talk about the Redskins, Michael. They play tomorrow night. They play Kirk Cousins. Minnesota's rolling. The Redskins stink. What's the latest with Adrian Peterson? Is he going to go?
And it's very kind of them to schedule it for the off day in the series so that we can all remind ourselves how lucky we are to have a team in the World Series here locally. All indications are Adrian Peterson's going to go. Big game for him, former team in Minnesota. He was in a walking boot, described as precautionary. You remember Case Keenum was in one of those and found a way to play a couple weeks ago. I think that the game plan will be more of the same, more Adrian Peterson, more him carrying the pile for 3 yards. And I think that's what they're resigned to, at least until we see Dwayne Haskins out there, at which point it's probably more of that to make him feel comfortable.
Michael, 2 years basically of waiting for this game for a lot of people in town, Kirk Cousins against the Redskins. And this is now going to be a tree falling in the woods in D.C. media in a lot of ways for people not kind of in the bubble on the beat. That's weird, man.
I don't know. I think it's gonna ramp up tomorrow night as we get closer to kickoff. If it was World Series or this game might as well not exist. So yeah, the timing's good in that. I think, you know, it's going to be Thursday night. I think people are going to get hyped when they see it. I think the first time Cousins gets sacked, people are going to, you know, have their feelings on that, see him out there, maybe throwing touchdown passes. It might be nobody hotter than him in the NFL right now. Maybe Lamar Jackson. He's red hot right now. So can he keep that going? Will there be any kind of, you know, it's prime time. It's the Redskins in prime time. It's Kirk Cousins in prime time. Just a lot of fun. You know, Case Keenum even is a great storyline in this game. I think there's a lot of fun to be had here.
Miguel, we know you're independently wealthy and you just do the sports reporting gig just for fun and love of sport. But if you had to risk your entire Michael Phillips family fortune from Phillips Seafood and the Phillips Gallery on if Trent Williams will be traded or not, what would you wager on?
I would say no at this point. I think it's similar to the Jacksonville situation where, you know, they dug their heels in. We're not going to trade Jalen Ramsey. And you got the sense it was a little bit personal there, too. And then the Rams come along and make a deal so good, and I would say so foolish, that of course they were going to take it. I think if that deal materializes for Trent, if John Dorsey calls up and there's two first-rounders on the table all of a sudden, Trent's going to be gone. They're going to do that, of course. But I think anything short of that, and I don't think Trent's worth that, I think they're going to hold their ground. I think Trent will stay.
Michael, thank you. We will be chatting soon after Redskins-Vikings.
No doubt.
See you, brother.
Let's continue our Beltway Blitz. It's time for an update at the top of the leaderboard of the World Series Pick-to-Click Grant and Danny Challenge. After our draft yesterday, the number one pick to Tom Daley was Juan Soto. He had 8 total bases in a dominant 3-hit game. I took Adam Eaton, who had 2 singles. Dar took Trey Turner, who had 1 single. Danny took Howie Kendrick, who was 0-for.
Had a nice line drive out, which got me 0.
So, your scoreboard right now, Thom 8, me 2, Dar 1, Danny 0. We will draft our players for game 2 at the end of the show today. But we bring on Thom now to discuss Juan Soto. How about that opposite field bomb with the bonus point for the long ball for you?
Yeah, I was very happy to see that and remember that we had a bonus point for the home run. But for me, that was kind of why I picked Juan Soto yesterday, is I had a feeling that with Gerrit Cole being on the mound, the only way you were going to beat him is just by getting a hold of one and hitting one out of the park, which is what Zimmerman and Soto were able to do. I was more surprised to see the double come back in the fifth, where you could really just see, wow, Juan Soto's locked in right now. He's playing at a completely different level. Where I wasn't surprised to see the home run, I was surprised to see him continue to act on it and then play well, pretty well in left field.
Yeah, nice little single as a bonus just to cap off your evening, Thommy. Be honest here with us and our listeners. Were you more pleased that you're running away with the pick to click or that the Nationals won game one?
I mean, that's close.
Come on, Tommy.
Laugh is revealing.
Yeah, I mean, it is game one, so I think me being in the driver's seat right now on the pick to click is probably more what I'm into. But, you know, if somehow it becomes 1-1, knocking on wood tonight, you know, if the Nats can't turn around and sweep over in Houston, I might feel a little differently about having 8 points so far.
Didn't he win the previous round, too?
He did. He did it.
Tommy just wins pick to clicks.
Apparently. He's a pick to click kind of guy. 8 for Thom, 2 for me, 1 for Dar, 0 for Danny. We're just getting started. The three of us, though, we need a bomb, basically. You need 5 spot to get back into this.
I need a 2-homer game from whomever I pick tonight.
Yeah, you need a monster outing today. Grant and Danny on the Fan. You will hear from Tanner Rainey. Caught up with him in the clubhouse after the game last night. Coming up at 1 o'clock right here on the Fan. Next, we'll get to your calls. What was the best and worst from last night? Best moment, worst moment, thing you feel best about, thing you feel worst about moving forward. G&D on the Fan. He's Danny, I'm Grant, and you're listening to the Fan. We're not in D.C. on Half Street where we normally are. We are out and about in Houston because that's where the Nats are. They're still playing on October 23rd. How about Juan Soto turning 21 on Friday night for Game 3? What kind of birthday celebration will be planned for him, and what might he have up his sleeve for Nationals fans as he gets back to Nats Park? He's coming home for his birthday for the first World Series game in the history of the Nats.
I would love if somehow the entire stadium sang happy birthday to Juan Soto.
We should start organizing.
I don't know who we should talk to or how we should get it done, but it would be, even if he just, when he jogs out to left field, right, Somebody like choreographs it. You know what I mean? Like, you get a conductor out there.
Let's actually start workshopping that tomorrow. I'm thinking we pick an inning, you know, between innings when he goes out. So it would be between, say, like the top and the bottom of maybe the, when's the dumb president's race? Is that the 5th or the 4th?
I don't know.
I'll look that up to make sure it's not then. But let's say maybe the 2nd or 3rd inning he goes out there, and we try to get everyone to do a little happy birthday for Juan Soto.
I think that's because we'd have to compete with whatever's on the Jumbotron where they're like, let's do the thing where there's a cup and you got to take the cup from the top and put it on the bottom, and then you cup the bottom to the top and you switch that, or then you got to open a present with your gloves on. We always have to compete with that sort of stuff. So I never know when those things are. I just like baseball, though. I like playoff games.
They've never done an open a present with your gloves on in the big screen. But that's a great
bit.
Dude,
they always do that.
My mom, we do that at my parents' house Christmas Eve. We play like games like that.
Dude, they 100% do it on the big screen. You have to wear baseball gloves on both hands. You have to open a present box, and whoever wins,
I've never seen that,
gets something, or they don't get it. I don't know. But, well, you're always paying attention to like baseball stuff.
Good point. I really enjoy baseball.
I just like baseball.
How's your stomach holding up?
It's okay.
Is it?
Yeah, fighting it.
It was a tough morning for you.
Yeah, it left carryover from last night. I was irresponsible in the press box.
I'll tell people real quick, and by the way, the show's brought to you by our friends who made this trip possible at Washington, D.C. BMW Center. Lease a BMW 330i X-Drive sedan for $399 a month at your Washington, D.C. BMW Center, or visit BMW Centers for other exceptional lease and finance offers. So I was here at this ballpark in the playoffs covering the American League Championship Series for MLB Network Radio last year. And so I've got a little bit of some experience with some of the vending and the food options and things. So I was telling Danny while we were getting to the ballpark yesterday, there's an ice cream place that's in like the club level right behind where we're going to sit.
And it's right there.
I mean, it's 15 feet from where we watched the entire game. And this ice cream place, it's scooped hard ice cream, which is what I love. Mm-hmm. It's all the best flavors, but namely the one that I eat is chocolate, obviously. And they do this thing where they also serve like several types of baked warm cookies there. And you go out, and what I learned to do last year, me and Jim Bowden would do every game, is you go out there and you get 2 cookies, and you ask for like basically a cookie sandwich.
And they make it right there.
So they put a fresh cookie down in like this white paper bowl, and then they put 2 huge scoops of ice cream right on top of it, and then they smash another chocolate chip cookie on it. So I was trying to tell Danny all about this plan and how he needs to do this, how I created this, and this is my baby, and I've kind of mastered this.
It's one of the items. It's this cookie sandwich right there on the menu.
Correct, but I kind of created it. It wasn't
like the way you invented kava.
No. Like, that sign has changed since last year.
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm saying. When I went there and I did that, they started to serve it that way. They're like, wow, this is really smart.
This guy invented this.
But anyways, Danny took that, and he ran with it, and the the place where you stopped Forrest Gump style was like several states away when you started running with it. You just turned around and you said, I think I'm tired and I'll go home now.
I think I'll go home now. You could post a picture if you want at Grant H. Paulson or on your Instagram account.
I think I already deleted it. I sent it to our boss.
You got rid of it? Yeah.
So CK probably still has it. You know, I delete my messages.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to post it because I didn't want to hurt your feelings or anything.
It's not hurting my feelings. I did it to
myself.
But I don't
want to be the guy that's chronicling your whole trip like, oh, look at Danny.
It's not the whole trip. It was an adventure in an ice cream eating. So what I did is I went back into the press box, and this is something that the regular public doesn't have access to. I topped it with M&M's, with Reese's Pieces and Butterfinger. And Grant goes, what is that? And I was like, it's Butterfinger. And he went, what? Like, was very upset about that.
I'm sure I said, what?
Like, well, what are you doing there? You could have gotten chocolate ice cream with ice cubes on it. And
that's true.
And then I had just a dollop. You don't want to, you don't want to overpower it, but a dollop of chocolate sauce, right? Just a little dollop in there just to enhance the flavor profile.
I'm sure it was a dollop, by the way.
It was a dollop. I didn't over chocolate. You don't want to over chocolate because there's too many good flavors in
it. I will say it was not a lot of chocolate, but that was not a normal person's dollop.
You're talking about my chocolate sauce?
Yes.
Dude, I just ringed it. I ringed the exposed ice cream with some chocolate sauce.
There was the same amount of chocolate sauce you'd put in chocolate milk.
No, less than that. Less than that.
Not by much.
Listen, your boy's flavor profile was outstanding. Anyway, I consumed it. It was a mountain. And Jags was making fun of me because he had a salad and then he like really got risky and had some fruit.
Well, that's another thing that we could talk about, but it's more fun to talk about your thing. Dave Jagler is at all these games, and honestly, like, you know, excuses are excuses. I'm an adult. I got to figure it out. But I'm putting on weight during this playoff run.
Well, you look at all the meat. Go through that whole press box.
Yeah.
There's two distinct classes of folks. It's people that are grown-ups with restraint. Jamal Collier, Jesse Doherty, Barry Svrluga, like eating reasonably. And then there are depressing, super fat ogres just rolling through there and being like, you know, you can have two buns. You're like, oh my God. So after I eat this ice cream explosion,
free.
Yeah, it's all
so good.
It's all free. Like after I eat this ice cream explosion, I'm now so nervous, right? That I stress eat. I do this. This is something that I do. And it's again, it's not an excuse.
Well,
I'm telling you what happens.
You don't know. And I do feel bad about. So I was sniping pictures of each of your items and sending them to CK.
I know.
So Danny goes and first of all, we'd already eaten dinner, which you had like a double cheeseburger and a hot dog.
And a hot dog and nachos that I made for myself. But that was only 3 hours after eating the tacos for lunch from Taco Cabana, which were outstanding.
So he has that dinner. Then he has this ice cream, which is stacked like twice over the bowl.
That's right.
I mean, Jags was mortified. Jags looked at it. As if...
Do you think he was offended? Like, legitimately, personally offended by it?
Offended, no. Do I think he was disappointed? Do I think he was upset? Do I think he lost a lot of respect for you? All those things are yes.
I think that. Charlie never looked at it. He was like, looking
at
stats.
But Charlie is not on our level of being irresponsible. But, like, at one point yesterday, he had a pretzel. Dave Jagler legitimately, I saw for his dinner, he had a salad. Like, lettuce and dressing, not a salad with stuff on it.
Yeah,
that
it was
matters.
A little bit of side dressing too. Like if a bird,
and then he ate a plate of fruit.
Yeah, if a bird were famished, he'd eat what Dave Jagler ate.
He ate a plate of fruit.
Yeah,
that was what he ate yesterday with those options.
And it wasn't right away either. It was like innings later.
But then Danny, after his ice cream, I think like 5 minutes after.
No,
that,
it was an inning later.
Okay,
which doesn't make it better.
Went and got a big soft pretzel, huge pretzel.
Huge.
And then after the pretzel, you got a box of popcorn.
All
do you
correct.
Remember that?
Of course I do.
Okay.
I'm sitting there stress eating.
So this morning when we wake up, I'm like, hey, man, you want to meet downstairs in the lobby after, you know, you get ready?
So there's a great little restaurant breakfast buffet situation down there. It's pretty solid for the caliber of hotel we're staying at.
$14, I'll take it.
Yeah, it's pretty legit. And I was like, you know what? I can't eat. I'm still messed up from last night. I was irresponsible. I went overboard. So I
got
to cleanse.
But you got to do the ice cream again. The ice cream's great. And they won. You got to run it back.
And don't forget about the dogs that I tried to get you to eat, Danny.
Yeah, are those in the ballpark, Thom?
Yeah, the H-Town dog. I just tweeted it to you guys.
Okay, yeah, I got to find that.
So maybe that's your dinner tonight.
But we're so pressed for time is the problem. Is like we basically finish the pregame, we get upstairs, and we've got 15 minutes, really.
But true.
We got to do a Facebook Live thing.
We'll do that when we get there.
And then we got to do, basically get whatever
yeah,
food
way,
we're going to get in the press
Facebook
box.
Live so that I don't want to do a Facebook Live and have like 26 people tuned in.
There were almost 11 people last night, I think.
Please watch our Facebook Live. We'll do it at around like, I don't know, 5:30 local time. Get on Facebook. Follow the fan.
Yeah, it'll be less awkward because last night was awkward because we finished the pregame and we like got upstairs and we're like, No, we didn't. It was before the pregame.
It was way before pregame.
Before, sorry about that. But there are people. It's like the press box was teeming with people.
In
there
the
was
press box.
No good place to do it. And people were upset that we were doing it there. Did you notice some of the writers?
Not as upset as Jags about your dinner, but a little bit upset.
Right. He was the number one upset. Number two most upset were 11 writers who kept looking over at us like, really? You fat idiots now?
Let's get to some calls on the Nats. And we'll answer the question that we posed to you guys next as we get back into the important baseball things. What do you feel best about in this series coming out of a Game 1 win? And what do you feel worst about or a little bit nervous or worried about? Those are the questions. There are some lines open first time today at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Game 2 of the World Series tonight at 8. Our pregame starts at field level here in Houston. Grant and Danny style at 6. Charlie and Dave at 7:30. This Red October on the Fan is presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online. PVI.com today.
Guys, Danny Ruye here from Appals at Ted Britt Ford. Now's the time. It's a season of change at Ted Britt Ford, your F-150 headquarters. A bit about Ted Britt Ford, if I may. It's a great car dealership, right? They're in Fairfax, they're in Chantilly now at the Dulles Auto Park. Awesome facilities, okay? That Fairfax locale has been there for 60 years. Ted Britt Ford's been doing this for 60 years. And they're celebrating their 60th year in business, okay? Here's how they're celebrating. By allowing you, the customer, to not pay them anything for 60 days. See, 60 and 60, there's the parallel right there. You don't pay them anything for 60 days. And here's what it means. You buy a truck, car, SUV, whatever you want from Ted Britt Ford. You owe them nothing for 2 months. And then when you do owe them, because ultimately you got to pay some money for a car, right? You're going to pay them a lot less than you probably should, to be honest with you. I don't know how they're doing this, but they're doing it. $11,000 below the MSRP on a 2019 F-150 truck, and then no payments for 60 days. Think about that. How about $13,000 below MSRP on a 2019 Escape and no payments for 60? $8,000 off a 2019 Ford Ranger. $8,000 off a 2019 Ford Mustang. And how about $7,000 off a new 2020 Ford Explorer? All of the above, no payments for 60 days. Let these guys win your business. They will treat you exceptionally well. They'll get you a great deal on a wonderful car, and you will leave satisfied. I'm telling you, I love Ted Britt Ford, and you will too. Go see them in Fairfax and Chantilly, like I mentioned. And when you go, just do me a personal favor. Just tell them Danny sent you.
1 Soto had 3 hits, drove in 3, and homered. Ryan Zimmerman hit the 5th home run of his Nationals playoff career, tying Bryce Harper for the franchise record, Nats or Expos. October home runs. We are live in Houston, presented by your Washington, D.C. BMW Center. Lease a BMW 330i X-Drive sedan for $399 a month at your Washington, D.C. BMW Center, or visit BMW Centers for other exceptional lease and finance offers. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. The phones are open at 800-636-1067. The topic on the docket right now, coming out of Game 1, what do you feel best about? What do you feel worst about? Danny, you start.
You feel best about the fact that they got to Gerrit Cole, that this Nationals offense, it wasn't a deluge, it wasn't, you know, a huge, ridiculous number, but they scored against the best pitcher on the planet right now. That was massive for me, and it took Ryan Zimmerman kind of exposing, or not exposing, but just drawing first blood to prove, hey, we can actually do this. Juan Soto, a couple great at-bats, you saw this group locked in. They only struck out 6 times in 7 innings against Gerrit Cole, and that's unusual, and that's you'd usually expect in the 11, maybe 12 range, and that's going to have to keep up throughout this series. Astros have plenty of strikeout pitchers. Verlander going tonight can do the same thing, so that was a big deal to me.
I think the thing I feel best about, the thing I feel worst about for the Nationals didn't change at all based on yesterday. I'll start with the thing that I feel best about. This group doesn't care what anybody thinks. This group is never intimidated. I love this team so much, Danny. Mm-hmm. I have loved this team all year. The thing that I was tweeting and saying about this team back in May when they were losing is still the same now. And back then, people would yell and scream at you and curse at you because they didn't want to hear it. Hopefully now they're enjoying it a little bit. But this team, even when they were losing, never laid down. They never stopped scratching and clawing. They would lose a lot of those bullpen games, but they would come back down 3 or 4 and score 2 or 3 and lose by 1. There's something about this collection, this group, they die so hard, and they've done a lot of living lately, by the way. 7 straight wins in the playoffs, dating back to Game 4 against the Dodgers. And maybe more importantly, when you string those seven together, going back before that with the wild card win against the Brewers in the late regular season, 17 of 19 overall. So one of the things I feel best about is they just overcome adversity and odds better than any Nationals team I've ever seen. And nothing seems to matter against them. What do I feel worst about? I worry a little bit about the Astros' ability to spit on pitches.
Yeah.
I worry for Steven Strasburg some tonight, but more importantly for Anibal Sanchez, whose stuff is not quite as good. You know, he can't do what Max did yesterday when he doesn't have his best stuff and just hand you a lead after five innings and 112 pitches. That's not happening. So as this series goes on, Patrick Corbin, you need guys swinging at your slider below the strike zone.
Absolutely.
If they're able to take those pitches and spit on that stuff, that changes everything for this pitching staff. The Cardinals didn't. The Dodgers didn't. Most of the year, nobody really has. It's how the Nationals have three guys with 235 strikeouts. But I happen to think maybe some of that, Danny, is that a lot of those pitches from Scherzer were balls out of his hand, and he didn't make it as hard on them as maybe Strasburg will tonight if he's better with his stuff and he's closer to the strike zone with his misses. That's my hope. But it is also my fear moving forward.
Yeah, a couple things that had me worried. I think yours is right on point. I would say that Doolittle was awesome last night. Got his four outs. Other than that, oh man, this is going to be a tightrope walk. And they're shooting arrows at you, and the rope is jiggling.
And we knew it.
Yeah, we knew it coming in, but man, oh man, is that something. I'd also add a bit of a supplement. One base runner, I believe I've got that right, after the fifth inning for the Nats against the last couple innings of Gerrit Cole settling in. And no, actually, there's two. There was a base hit that was erased by a double play. But not much doing against Cole for the last half of the game and against the bullpen. The Nats are going to have to score against this Astros bullpen, which is pretty good.
Let's go to line one. And, Dar, I can't see who went ballistic when Eaton bunted in the first. But I want to talk to someone about bunting. Larry in Fairfax, what's up? You're on G&D.
Hey, how you doing, boys? Yeah, good. So I called yesterday, and my player to watch was Adam Eaton. And when he bunted with Trey Turner on second base already in the first inning, I went ballistic. He's already in scoring position. I you know, and I think we talked about that. We don't want to see Eaton bunting the ball. That drove me crazy. He came back obviously with the base hits, hitting them in the corners like he does, but that drove me nuts. It drove me absolutely nuts.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for the call, buddy. Oh, sorry, you got another one? Oh, I guess he's gone. If you want to call back, we'll get you back.
Because you're trying to get a cheap little run there, right? Where Turner manufactures, gets you to second base, and if you get him at third with less than two out, middle of the order up, ground ball scores, and the infield's going
to
be back.
But then you had Rendon and Soto with one out. Turner at second, still a chance to drive him in. Yeah. Six pitches, two strikeouts, ended the first inning. By the way, people are saying they don't want to see Adam Eaton bunt. He's got two bad bunts that have been popped up in the playoffs now. He might be the best bunter on the team. I don't want to see anyone bunt that's not a pitcher because I think it's useless and futile, and analytics tell you that, and we know more now.
Let's be clear there, though. I'm with you on sacrifice bunt situations.
Correct.
You're bunting for a hit, and you've got a good spot. You got a good look.
Right.
I'm not anti that.
No. I'm talking about sacrifice bunts,
right,
which I think essentially is what he was doing. Now, you could say he was ambushing and trying to get a bunt base hit, but you're not doing that if there's not a runner at second that you're trying to get to third.
Correct, yeah.
So by definition, I'm ruling that a sacrifice. He had two hits, including a big run-scoring hit yesterday. Please swing the bat, man. You're capable, offensively, of extra base hits. He wanted to get the runner to third so that Rendon or Soto could have gotten you a sac fly to take a 1-0 lead. I get why he did it. I don't happen to love it. Let's go to Nathan in Potomac on Grant and Danny. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy.
First off, it was an incredible game. I think I formed a few gray hairs here and there yesterday. I think the best thing you guys have alluded to it is it's just the intangible that the offense has. It's so different compared to the last postseason years that runs that the Nationals have basically done. And sorry if I'm going a little off topic here, but it just reminds me of the Washington Capitals when they won the Stanley Cup. It's just, when they needed to make a play, someone actually like came into the clutch. And I feel that that's what the Nationals were able to just do last night. What I don't feel that good about is a little bit of the bullpen. And but I will say this, Rainey he's a rookie, and being able to, you know, pitch, you know, that fast, you know, pitches. I think there were a lot of pitches that he made that was, you know, above 100 miles per hour. Was that correct?
Yeah, he touched 100. Thanks for the call. A handful of times last night, he sat 99. The stuff's not the problem with him. His fastball velocity is outstanding, and his slider's a wipeout out pitch. Get, you know, some of the best hitters in the league swinging and missing there. The problem is count leverage. He's got to be ahead, because even at 99 or 100, with some movement, these dudes, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve,
Springer, man,
Carlos Correa, George Springer, they're going to turn 99 around. You got to be ahead in the count. Something he mentioned to me when I talked to him postgame, you'll hear that interview coming up in about 15 minutes at 1 o'clock D.C. time. We're in Houston, where the Nats World Series run in Red October's on the Fan, presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online. PVI, PVI.com today. What are you feeling good about? What are you feeling worried about after game one? He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. The Nats play on 106.7 and have all year long. Every pitch, every home run throughout 2019 has been heard right here on this station, and will continue that trend in that stretch throughout October. Tonight's game at 8 o'clock. Charlie and Dave on the call. Pregame starts at 7:30 for them. Danny and I will be on the field in front of the dugout for our pregame show from 6 to 7:30, so make sure you're listening at that time. Thing I'm most excited about in this series moving forward, I just don't doubt this team's ability to scratch and claw. And it's not analytical, and it sounds silly, but I really trust this group.
You got enough evidence to support it anymore,
it's
Grant.
A year of this.
You can throw a lot of the, and again, I'm going to rest myself for the cliche police, but you can throw a lot of numbers away. Oh, Adam Eaton's hitting 190, two key base hits last night.
Right.
Oh, Juan Soto struck out 13 times. Doesn't matter. 3 for 4
last
night.
They rise to the occasion.
They figured out. And at a certain point, maybe your luck runs out. Like if the season's another month, you sort of, you know, you lose some of the games where you fall down 3-0 to the Brewers or to the Dodgers or whatever. But not this group. That's not what this group does. This group right now just kind of keeps playing.
That's what I feel good about. The thing I'm worried about is the Astros' approach. You know, if they're able to get starters out of the game, if Stras goes 5 tonight and you're back into that 4-inning carousel, there's no Patrick Corbin coming out of that bullpen. I doubt they'll go to Anibal Sanchez. I guess that's possible. But I think you'll be using Rainey second night in a row. You'll be using Rodney and maybe even someone other than those two guys before you can get to Doolittle and Hudson. That's a big problem. Real quick, what you like, don't like after game one?
Love that they scored off Gerrit Cole. Found a way to get to the best pitcher on the planet, a guy that has not been scored upon. One run in the postseason leading up to last night's start. That was massive. Concerns, obviously, you know, soft underbelly of the bullpen. There are going to have to be outs that are not Hudson and Doolittle. Even Hudson himself was shaky last night against this lineup that I don't think he matches up with particularly great, to be honest with you. So that has me concerned, certainly. And if we're in close games, which I expect, because the Astros are very good, B, these sorts of World Series games tend to be very close, that's going to be a tightrope walk with the tightrope shaking and people shooting arrows at you.
The phones are yours at 800-636-1067. They are tough to come by today, though, so when you hear someone hang up, you can hop in and get to the front of the line. We're in Houston, where we are being brought to you thanks to our friends at BMW Center in Washington, D.C. You can lease a BMW 330i X-Drive sedan for less than $400 a month. Washington, D.C. BMW Center is where you can go, or visit BMW Centers for other exceptional lease and finance offers. Let's go to Chris in Springfield on the Fan. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, guys, doing good. Great show.
Appreciate you, buddy.
I'm most excited about getting cold, like you all have said, but also not having that hangover from the week off, because every other time in the playoffs, that's been their demise. But what two things I'm worried about is a little bit of the kind of striking once in games. We get the big inning, but we don't add on. And also, you know, you're not going to be able to get 9 outs out of Hudson and Doolittle every night. And going to the bad part of the bullpen, you know, is you're going to have to get outs from them. And I don't know if they're going to be able to shut down this Houston offense.
I think that's where we're lockstep there. I mean, Rodney's going to have to pitch, right? You'd figure maybe he gets first crack at it because Tanner Rainey didn't throw that great last night. Maybe he does.
I would go back to Rainey, honestly. Here's why. First, I'm petrified of Fernando Rodney. Like, honest to God, if you told me I could either have to walk down an alley after midnight in the inner city with a guy coming toward me with a gun in his hand at 2 in the morning who's got a rap sheet longer than his arm, or I can watch Fernando Rodney throw the 7th tonight, I'll take my chances in that alley, okay? Start with that. Second, I think that Rainey threw last night should benefit him. He's a rookie in the World Series, man. I mean, that's not that easy of a thing to do. Not to mention, this could be way overthinking it, but right when he came out of the bullpen last night, they did an 8-minute long God Bless America or whatever that was that they sang last night. He's standing there on the warning track in the outfield. Like, that's not normal. Normally, you walk down the steps, you run in, you go through whatever your motions are. He sat there for 2.5 minutes waiting for God Bless America, then went out and threw his warm-ups. It was just a different kind of routine. Now, I can make all the excuses for him in the world. He walks a lot of guys. He always has. And he walked 2 guys last night and gave up a homer. I'll still take Rainey over Rodney tonight. And if he has a bad outing tonight in a one-run spot and he costs you the game or blows the lead and it's tied or you fall behind, maybe I go to Rodney in Game 3. But I got a season's worth of sample on those 2 guys that I'll base it on.
No, I get it. And, again, I don't know. It's somebody has to do it. And so nobody's done it yet.
It's incredible they're here with this bullpen.
I know.
By the way,
this is not hyperbolic. It's the worst bullpen to ever be in the playoffs, let alone a World Series.
It is. But you know what? It's a testament, first and foremost, I think, to Rizzo to an extent. I know you could say he built the first bad bullpen, but he brought in Hudson. It's a testament in some ways to the coaching staff, the medical staff, as far as Doolittle's concerned.
Sure.
To rework him and to get him right. And then I think the biggest piece of this pie is the Davey Martinez piece. I mean, he has masked this deficiency with masterful tactical managing in some of these late-inning spots with starters. You're going to hear from Rainey coming up. I caught up with him after the game, by the way. He had some thoughts on trying to bounce back from his outing. That's just a couple of minutes away. Mary's in Springfield on the Fan. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You touched on the point I was going to make just now. The thing I feel really the best about and have through all the postseason is Davey Martinez's ability to navigate these games inning by inning, you know, batter by batter, you know, matching up the pitching. And he's been successful with this. I mean, 17 out of 19 games of wins.
Yeah, it's no longer a coincidence, right? I mean, you could say, oh, you know, you make a move or two and you get lucky. Or, you know, something that I remember in the moment I didn't love. I'm trying to remember what it was in the Dodgers series. And, of course, it worked out. When your team is rolling and every button you push is the right button, they make you look maybe a lot smarter than you might be. And he'd be the first one to say that. But we're past the point of, oh, it's just good fortune. 17 to 19 games. They swept through the division series. They beat the Dodgers at their own game in their ballpark. And now they're up 1-0 against the mighty Astros.
That World Series run, the Red October we're experiencing on the Fan, is presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast and excellent and affordable. Business is growing with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or go online at PVIPVI.com today. You'll hear from Tanner Rainey next. Also want to get that conversation we had before the game with Brian Dozier for people as well. That was kind of fun. You're listening to the Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.